This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Time you read about it in the Wall Street Journal, it's already too late.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways.
The only problem you're going to have is that you didn't buy more.
Let me lock in that trade right now and get back to you with my secretary with an exact confirmation.
All right, buy or sell time. Are you buying or selling after we saw the Avs get right yesterday? Are you buying or selling that the Avs will get past the first round? They will beat Winnipeg. I think I asked this yesterday, but I'm asking again today because the way you smoked Edmonton has to give you a little confidence going in. And with McKinnon, just ridiculous, man. Are you buying or selling it? Yeah, I was getting past this first round.
Can I do layaway?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want, okay, man.
I'm going to do layaway for at least game one. I need to see how they look on the road.
Yeah.
And then if, you know, I'll put a down payment on it. And then if it looks good, I'll finish it off.
I was selling it yesterday, Angel. It just shows you how good they can be, though, even with spotty goalkeeping.
Yeah, this team is by no means, like, disastrous.
No.
It's just strange because we saw how good they were on that 9-game streak.
I'm not going to be the guy that goes against the Avs. Do I truly think that they win this series? I'm telling you, man, one game changes my whole outlook on life, to be honest. I'm a different person than I was yesterday, thanks to the Avs beating Edmonton. So I'm buying it. I'm going to buy that the Colorado Avalanche will, in fact, get past this first series based on one game. It's all it took for me.
Yeah, I think if they win this series, you feel really good about them at least getting back to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, and just to reiterate this, we talked about it earlier, but buy or sell, the Avs should make a goalie change for game one with Justus Onanen, or you stick with Alexander Georgiev.
I say sell it, run it for one game. If it's as bad as we feel it is, then you make the change.
I think, again, you can't go back. So if you make the change now, and Justus is basically plays like a backup goalie, right? Then you can't really go back. That's tough. And maybe you can. Maybe Georgie is a better person when he comes back. But can't imagine that would be, cover your ears, Buffs fans, a good look for the Colorado Avalanche. Buy or sell that the Denver Nuggets superstar of this series will not be one of the big three. Joker, Jamal, Aaron Gordon. Oh, I guess you throw Porter, big four. Will not be one of those guys. Buy or sell?
I'm going to sell it.
Okay.
I do think it will be one of those big four. Which one? I think you know where I'm going.
You're going with your boy.
I think it's going to be Mike.
You're going with your guy.
Outside of the week that he has had with his family.
Yeah.
This guy, what we saw from the playoffs last year to what he did in the offseason and this season, I think Porter is prepared and ready for a monster playoff series.
I think he's going to use the basketball court as his therapy. And I don't want to speak too much into how he'll handle this situation, but that's the hope anyway. And again, it's the secondary in all of this, but hopefully he can use this outlet to help him personally too, because we got the news earlier about what
Coben Porter
is now going to, he's going to what, prison for 6 years?
6 years.
And then we know what happened with Jonte, makes that look not as bad, honestly, but he has now been banned. And this has all come down in the span of a week. He's been banned by the NBA. This has all happened in a week.
Yeah, I agree with, I think Porter will be able to use the basketball side of it as a bit of a therapy or a bit of a release. We know he's very strong in his faith as well, so probably leaning on that more is in addition to it. But I think the Lakers are going to be focused on Jokic and Murray. Gordon's going to be doing his thing under the basket. Mike has a great opportunity to take advantage of that kind of defensive pressure.
Buy or sell that helmet communications, which have just now been officially approved by the NCAA for FBS games, buy or sell that it's going to be a good thing? Are you going to miss seeing guys run around with pictures of dogs and Matthew McConaughey and stuff to try to get the plays into the quarterback?
I won't miss it. I don't think that's going to completely go away. I think you may see a hybrid of the two, like lessen the play call for the quarterback, and maybe you do signs or whatever for the lineman or the running back. But I think it's going to be good practice for these players to have that voice in their head. Coaches are going to have to adapt to it as well. But you're not going to, if you're going to end up going to the NFL, that's not going to be a huge transition process for you.
Yeah, I love it. I think this is something they need to be working on. They should have been doing a long time ago. I talked to Ed Lamb on Football 52 about the possibility of this happening at the FCS level. And they're talking about it. It's growing. It might come down to teams are responsible for doing that themselves. But right now, it's a no-go for them. But if you are an FCS team playing an FBS team at one point, you have the option to try it out if you would like to.
Yeah, you have to submit a proposal. And I also saw that they're going to allow tablets on the sidelines
as
well. Yeah,
tablets. Tablets is official on both sides. The FCS did approve that as well. And I think you can get, what was Ed telling me, anywhere from 8 to 16?
I think it's 16 or so.
So they're going to get the tablets. You know, you don't want to have to. Hopefully Max McCaffrey's not around to chuck that into the stands like he did the clipboard.
Please don't do that. Snap it in half. Or
So fun fact for everybody. UNC could do the helmet communication against CSU if they wanted to. But I did talk to Ed Lamb, and he said no. Doesn't make sense to us to do it and learn it if we're not going to be able to use it the rest of the season.
So if an FCS opponent says they're not doing it, does the FBS have to not do
it? I think they can still do it. I think they still get to do it, yeah. So they're going to... I believe so. Now, interesting notes on this here. You know, you did have a few teams that used the communication during most recently the bowl season. There were teams that were actually trying it out this year. It will now be an option for every game in the sports top division. So you don't have to do it. You can still do. You think every team will do it, or do you think some will stick with the traditional, we got signs on the sidelines and all that?
I think you could see a bit of both. I don't know what would be faster, reading the play call, relaying it to your quarterback, and then him telling the team, or just throwing up, you know, Lightning McQueen and Shaquille O'Neal, and that's the play.
Yeah. Are you gonna kind of miss it? Gonna miss it?
I guess I will. I do like to try to decode what the signs are. It's like, okay, blue banana, and then there's some kind of race car. What does that mean? Oh, it's a run play.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. I will not miss it. I don't like seeing the quarterbacks just... Their guys have gone
three
to the
backup quarterback.
I don't like, and I don't like the quarterback that's staring over there and squinting his eyes and just staring at him for like 15 seconds. It will probably make the pace of play a little bit faster, I would imagine. I mean, you can still take your time, but now there won't be an issue of trying to decipher what the play is on the sidelines. It's just going to be, we're reading it to you right now. And there's no stallions to rip off your play calls anymore.
Sure, I mean, but, you know, players could look at the signs and everybody knows what the sign is, or it's the quarterback making sure you heard everything. Hey, this is a road game, it's loud, I don't know if I really heard the play call. Now you're going to get into those things that we still see in the NFL.
Based on all the transfer portal stuff, Angel, buy or sell, we got a lot of them today, buy or sell that the Buffs are better than they were last year. They will be better, record-wise.
Record-wise?
Yeah.
By one game? Sure.
That would still miss them. They'd miss out on a bowl.
Yeah, I think they will be better in terms of operational or even the way that they're playing. But I don't know if they're going to be better than four or five. I think right around 5 wins. And that may come down to the last game of the season. Come at me, Buffs fans. I really don't care.
No, they're just... They
don't find my Twitter.
They don't listen. I think I have Buffs fans that listen. I don't think Prime fans listen. I don't even think they're in the state. Maybe. But I would imagine they do not listen to the show. Because they just, they're
on
their...
They said it themselves. They don't know what a Brady hole is.
They don't even know what a Brady hole is. It's my favorite tweet, though. Whoever tweeted that out, that was awesome. I absolutely love that. What the blank is a Brady hole? Got me.
Is that even like a burn?
Honestly, it was a compliment some way. I took it as a compliment. You get people that you're make fun of your profile picture and stuff like that. And I have thick skin. I'm fine with it. I don't care. Because I looked pretty damn good in that picture. So I know we're lying now. I just got
like
a fresh haircut.
You should get a cartoon version of yourself.
Yeah, I probably will. Most of these trolls that comment, though, they don't even use their names. They don't even have a real picture on there. They're just trolls, man. They're not even humans. They're probably robots. Could be robots. All right, that's buy or sell. Colorado edge rusher Eric Brantley Jr. is expected to enter the transfer portal today. Brantley Jr. was an early enrollee from the Buffs 2024 class. Listen, it is not good. None of this stuff is good that's happening, so stop pretending that it's... Like, I know that with the transfer portal stuff, we're supposed to take a step back and not say, well, what's going on over there? Because it happens with everybody. I just had the conversation with Ed Lamb yesterday, or Wednesday, about Shea Kuykendall, the quarterback that entered the portal. If you look at it and go, oh, what's happening? He must not like Ed. No, the guy was probably not going to start. He probably wasn't going to be the backup. And he wanted to go play somewhere where he could compete for a starting job. And Ed was like, I'll help you out the door, man. I'll hook you up. I'll do what I can to find a job for you. So, yeah, there are situations, Angel, where we should take a step back and not freak out and do the whole, what's going on? But this is a lot of big names. These are now a lot of big names that are leaving the University of Colorado. You can't just ignore that.
No, you can, and because it's CU, because it's prime time, because they made a big fuss about everybody that came in last year, if that same player that had that excitement leaves, you do get, it's fair to ask that question, and until something comes out saying, oh no, it's, you know, each player has their own, you know, reason for transferring, but unless it's a bigger deal that we just haven't found out about yet, if it's, oh, the players actually don't like the locker room vibe, or they don't like the way he coaches or whatever, then we have to ask the question, what is going on?
Yeah, what is it? Is it they don't like all, is all the talk and all that stuff too much? Do they not gel with the players? Is there too much pressure on them? Are they not meeting the expectations of Buffs coaches and then they're kind of forcing them out the door? Or the worst case scenario is they look around and go, this place is a joke. And I'm just, that's one scenario. And if you just deny it blindly, then stop being such a follower. Just use your original thoughts and go, like, I love the Broncos, Angel. Do you hear me on here every day getting offended when someone goes after Sean Payton? I try to analyze the situation as best I can and then deduce it from there and form my own opinions. Prime time is different from people. For people, it's crazy to me, but to not, what is it, 16 now?
Mm-hmm.
16 guys have entered the portal for CU, and a lot of those are high. You know, Brian was on with this the other day. This was before all these names hit. A key safety, a key tight end, a young cornerback that we thought was going to be really good. And we talked about why that maybe primetime didn't click with him. Maybe he wasn't going to class and doing the little things, but surely not all of these guys on this list are just not doing the little things.
Yeah, and as fans, you're kind of expected to defend your team and support them and, you know, handle the bat talk for them on social media. That's fine, but also you have to be able to criticize your team. If
yes.
I saw 15 players go in the portal from Alabama, I would be very concerned. Like, oh, is the new coaching staff not working? Is it, whoa, what's going on in Tuscaloosa? It's a fair question.
I mean, look at these guys, Angel. Cormani McClain was the cornerback recruit, the top cornerback recruit in the country. That was his first five-star get. That was primetime's first five-star. Alton McCaskill was a four-star transfer tailback from Houston. He was also the 2021 AAC Rookie of the Year. Dylan Edwards, he's gone. And Keeler writes, we coming, they going. We coming in 2023, they going in 2024. Sanders said, I think this would be the same with every school. That's not just here when asked about it. That's what every school deals with. You media guys just are compensated to pay attention to us a little more than anyone else. Listen, it is happening, but that's a lot of players in 1 week.
Yeah, and you don't see guys like Steve Sarkisian or Ryan Day come out and panic about what's going on, or they're not as flashy as Deion, and that's because he is the exception when it comes to that type of personality. But if this happened at Texas, we'd be asking, what's going on in Texas? What is Steve Sarkisian doing?
You're correct.
Oh, Georgia lost 10 players. Is Kirby Smart losing his touch? It's the same thing.
I'm asking the question about CSU. We're not seeing any activity from the transfer portal on the basketball side of things, really the football side of things. What's happening? I mean, are you striking out on the guys you want? Kevin told us they missed out on a couple of guys they thought they could legitimately get, but one went to CU and one went somewhere big. I can't remember, but pretty big. So I'm asking. We got to ask. You can be critical. My goodness. So check this out. When Primetime says that it's happening all over the country, Keeler puts this out. As a point of reference, 15 departures with 2 weeks until the portal class closes is more than any other Big 12 school. A lot more, according to Keeler. In fact, the only peer even close to that kind of turnover is Houston with 11. Players reportedly leaving. The other 15 Big 12 football programs have averaged 2.9 portal jumps this month. So it is not happening the way it is happening for the Colorado Buffaloes right now.
Yeah, and as opposed to last year, you can't rely on 15 guys left. We're going to get 15 brand new guys that are better and be able to replace them immediately. There's no guarantee in that anymore. Because of the results of last season, there's more skepticism about players going to CU, not because, oh, we're going to be building something. Now it's, okay, I see what you started with. Wasn't that great? Do I really want to go be a part of this rebuild or go somewhere else and be a part of a rebuild that's maybe further along?
Yeah, and again, I want to be fair both sides. Like, I just got this tweet. Transfer visitors, they've got a couple of big-name guys that are there. A tackle from Texas. They got a D lineman. They got a big time edge rusher from Pitt visiting them. Got a running back from Ohio State checking them out. Dallin Hayden. So to be fair, okay, there are big names coming. And I'm, you know, is it working with what Shiloh posted? Maybe. Still a weird look to me. 22 minutes after the hour, Nuggets, Lakers, game one tomorrow night. Jamal Murray is pumped. The Nuggets are locked in and ready to go. They got their new slogan. They got the uniforms picked out for what they're going to do. And guess what? You're going to be able to hear it all right here, including the Avs, on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. Angel, we'll take a quick break. Nuggets, Lakers, we like the sweep. We'll discuss next.
Again. Podcasts are available at 1310kfk.com.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Nuggets, Lakers, game one is tomorrow night. You can hear it here on KFK. If you, for some reason, if you're not at home ready to watch this thing on the tube, we will have you covered with the game coverage, the Nuggets and the Avs. All right, I love this. Angel, this is a tradition now. Last year, you put together a couple of times this really fun kind of preview build up for the Nuggets, and I absolutely loved it. So you got something you cooked up for us again. Get us hyped, get us ready to go for Nuggets Lakers, and really just the playoffs in general. Angel, let's get to it.
Last season, the Nuggets climbed the mountaintop and struck gold for the first time.
The 47-year wait is over! The Denver Nuggets stand on top of the NBA world!
This year, new adversaries are rising. So join us around the fire here to see if the Nuggets can strike gold once again.
I'm going after that gold, Joe. the goal calls to us.
KCP for three. Yes! Caldwell Pope down the lane. Lay it up and in!
Gordon soars in. Comes up with a rebound. KCP to the rim.
I guess the sun's always shining over the next valley. Maybe that's where we'll find our pot of gold.
Jokic has 36 points. Backdoor feed. And it's Brown. A high flyer. Gets the slam and a foul. Meanwhile, Christian Brown switching hands in midair. Flushing it with a left hand.
We had a case of gold fever around here.
Jokic picks it up. Nuggets have numbers. Got Christian Brown on the right side. Instead, snap it out. Got a corner. It's blocked by Peyton Watson.
Almost a turnover. Watson. Oh, Watson explodes with a two-handed jam.
Want some gold? I'm not giving it to anybody else.
Lowers the boom. Jokic on the dribble drive, two to shoot, put it up.
Oh! Oh, Aaron Gordon! Here's Gordon, gets free and slams it down.
Porter rocks the Cavs ball! Porter, shake and bake. Yeah! Porter trying to shake and bake. He's got four to shoot. Puts up a very tough shot and nails it.
Bow and arrow once was the pinnacle of Brooklyn's technology.
Bounce pass, Jokic. Oh, Murray lowers the boom.
Murray, oh, what a spin, the fade, and the roll.
Got to go quick here. Murray guarded by Holiday. Now Tillman, he lets it fly. Oh, Jamal Murray.
Why so serious?
Murray gets it over to Gordon. Jokic rumbles to the rim.
Jokic got to pull one up here, and he does. Off the glass. Clock ticks, got to put one up. Jokic for the win. Oh, it's good!
Oh, yeah, Alonzo. Great work by you. That doesn't get you pumped up. Ready to go for the playoffs, then I don't know what will. I can picture all those plays. I can see all of that happening. The way it went down throughout the course of the playoffs last year and throughout the season, too. But here we go. 6:30, final game of the night, Saturday. It'll be the final game of Saturday. Lakers, Nuggets. Okay, bias aside, Angel, is this the most intriguing first round matchup? I mean, you got Magic and Cavs. You got Suns and T-Wolves. You got Sixers and Knicks. And then the next night, you've got the Celtics and whoever that might be, the Bulls or the Heat, and then the Mavericks, Clippers, Pacers, Bucks, and then the Thunder and maybe the Kings is what we're thinking anyway. But where does this rank as far as the most like entertaining series as far as just a preview goes?
I would say it's this series, the Suns and the T-Wolves, and the Clippers and the Mavericks. Those will probably be... Those last two, probably the more competitive series, but this one definitely has the most intrigue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, you know, that's why you want this one at night, too, 6:30. This will be on ABC. I'm not going to go out on a limb or get crazy here at all, Angel. I just think this is going to be a Nikola Jokic explosion starting this weekend. I wouldn't be shocked if he's averaging a triple-double. He's in the 30s every single night. I think he's going to go off. I think he wants to get these done again. I think he wants to bust right past the Lakers. I think we're going to see another level. They are now 7.5-point favorites. That has jumped up from 6.5. I think we're going to see another level from the Joker.
Yeah, we think back to game one against the Lakers to start the season. It was banner night, ring night, and we all have that image of Jokic looking up at the banner kind of like, I think he wants to go get another one. And we've talked about it in the offseason. How does this team get remotivated to be going from the chasers to the ones being chased? They're going to get everyone's best shot this season, and they did get everyone's best shot. Now you're getting the heavyweight fights, the title card matchups against the Lakers, a team that you've beaten 8 times, and we're going to hear all about that. But you have to keep that separate. This is a new fight. This is a new type of challenge. But I think this Nuggets team is ready to answer that call.
All right, let's go through the matchups. Let's go through who's winning that matchup. At point guard, D'Angelo Russell or Jamal Murray?
it's Jamal Murray. I'm not overly concerned about the injuries. He's had time to, you know, he had those three, four games last week to get ready. He's got a couple of days off. They're hitting the gym, hitting practices. Treatment's probably going well, so I expect Jamal to turn on the switch for playoff Murray.
Yeah, I think Jamal's going to go off. I wouldn't be shocked. Here's what Jamal had to say as they're ramping up for this game.
I just feel like the playoffs is the time you want to see the best players perform, and I try to do that most of the time. You know, as the competition is great, the adrenaline is higher, the minutes are higher, the shots are more, the confidence is all the way up there. So, you know, when they take off the leash like that, it's fun to just go out there and play my game.
I think that they sound dialed in. I mean, what else are you going to say? They sound dialed in.
Yeah, from what I've seen, you know, from the different interviews at practice, Peyton Watson was one that stuck out to me as this is his first real playoff experience. He's talked about the way this team is focused, locked in. There's a new sense of, you know, intensity in the practices. They were all at Jokic's house on Tuesday night hanging out, drinking some Serbian drinks.
And yeah.
DeAndre Jordan was in the pool swimming around. So they're loose enough, but they're also ready to lock in.
Yeah, I think so. This team just has a certain sense of togetherness. Wasn't it in Miami when they all got together? Whose house did they go to? Was Jeff Green living there?
I think it was
Jeff's
house.
Was it Jeff's house?
Yeah.
They go there, and it was like they lost game two to Miami, right?
Yeah.
And then
yes, they did.
Yeah, and then after that, it was like, okay, we've got a little get-together here, and we're good to go.
They won the next three games.
So maybe that is a good plan for this team. Couldn't go to Jeff Green's house, but they did something else.
No, they're a very close-knit team. They all talk about how much they love each other. It's that culture that they built, that Nuggets culture that Malone talks about. And it's bred success up to this point. Now it's in that next phase of how do we go back to that title.
Yeah, and let's continue with the matchups here. Austin Reeves, who we talked about yesterday, that guy could be an X factor for the Lakers. You just got to be careful with this guy. Obviously, KCP, right? Going to be going up against Reeves, or I would imagine, right?
I would think so.
I mean, that matchup's got to be also KCP, right?
Yeah, KCP is an elite defender in this league. He doesn't get the credit that he probably deserves. 22-time Defensive Player of the Game chain award winner for this team. First team all-defensive MVP. So, yeah, I think KCP is going to have it's that veteran presence that's on the floor, a guy that's won two titles, won it with the Lakers, of course. But, you know, Reeves is a guy that you have to look out for. He was able to make some shots in their series last year. You can't let him be that kind of X factor for them.
LeBron James is interesting. I do think, though, you're going to see Aaron Gordon on him, and then would Michael Porter Jr. then be on Rui Hachimura?
Yeah, LeBron AG was the kind of matchup we saw in the postseason last year. They had that weird scuffle, I think, in Game 3, where LeBron kind of elbowed Aaron in the throat a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, Aaron Gordon takes that as a sense of pride to go against the other team's best player, and that is LeBron James at this point. Very physical. You're going to have to be that type of player for him. And then Michael Porter on who is it? Rui. Michael stepped up his defense the last season. He's become more of that all-around player while maintaining the elite shooter title. I think Michael is, as I said before, going to be set for a big series.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked. Again, this is the best starting five in the NBA. You know, so they're going to win a lot of these matchup previews and all that. Joker and Anthony Davis. I mean, you have the best player in the NBA taking on, you know, a pretty decent big man. Maybe great big man, but can he stay healthy? Is he really that consistent? He could go off for 40, but then the next night he could get 17. I love this matchup. This is part of the reason why I'm saying, and I'm not saying that Anthony Davis can't be a good defender. I just think the Joker has too many weapons, too many tools at his disposal that he will be able to use against Davis.
Yeah, we've seen 30 or 29 other big men across the league try to figure out Nikola Jokic, and you may get him for one play or two or a possession here or there, but Jokic dictates his own game. If he's only taking two shots in the first, you know he's dishing the ball out. If he's attacking the rim, being aggressive, you know he's trying to wear you down physically. And he has all the different footworks, the moves with his elbow, the way he can move his body around without putting himself in danger. He is outsmarting every big man on the floor.
Yeah, Joker is... And this is where you gotta... Do you pace yourself a little bit? Because we know this Saturday is the start of this journey, and it's April. Your goal is to be playing well into June. And so do you pace yourself a little bit? Do you see one of those monster first quarters from Joker? I mean, we've seen this guy score 15 in the first, and it doesn't even feel like or seem like he's doing that. So does he go off like that? Does he force the issue? Or does he kind of sit back and evaluate for a moment, and he does get into more of that passive attack to just kind of see what the vibe is? Because we've seen that for the Joker, too. There's a lot of times where he waits to see how this team's going to defend them. You know, what is their emphasis going to be? What are they doing on – how are they switching? How are they coming off of screens? Are they going high? Are they going low? He will evaluate that stuff first. Or does he just get aggressive and say, we got to take game one, so I'm not going to mess around?
Yeah, just going to looking back at their game one from last season against Minnesota, they won that game 109-80. Dominant performance, especially in the second half. I think they were up by 11 at halftime and then blew that lead out of the water. Murray with 24 points in that one. You held Anthony Edwards to only 18. Jokic had 13-14-6 in that game. So maybe a bit of a more feeling out process for this team. Maybe force the Lakers to punch first and then respond.
I could see that happening. My gut actually tells me that that could happen. That they, not that you're sitting back, but it's, hey, we're not going to get into our full-on offense right now where it's running through Joker. We're going to see if we can get Michael Porter Jr. open for an early three, get him hot. Jamal Murray working that ISO game a little bit, or even Aaron Gordon, give him the ball in the corner and let him kind of work his way to the rim. I think that, you know, halfway through the first or so, you might, maybe even into the second, you start to see, okay, we've slowed down here. Let's get into our regular stuff. I wouldn't be shocked, though, if they are kind of in that approach of we're not going to run through Joker just yet. Let's see what we can do with some of these matchups.
Yeah, there's a level of confidence that this starting unit has together. They've played over 160 minutes more than any other starting five in the league. They have that chemistry. They've been building it for years. So you could see them maybe say, hey, let's ease out a little bit of the gates. Let's not try to outshoot them with threes. See what they're going to try to adjust at us first, and then we'll make our adjustments as we go. But it's the type of team that has that confidence to answer or run in a very, very big way.
Yeah, yeah. No question, man. I love this matchup. I think that this is, again, is it the perfect first round matchup for Denver? Pretty close. I mean, maybe Pelicans would have been interesting. I mean, they beat the Nuggets, and when they did, it was kind of eye-opening a bit because it was a Brandon Ingram went off in that game, I think. Now, worried about that team, and that was a play-in game, wasn't it?
It was one of the play-in
in-season tournaments, sorry. So, yeah, I think this is one of the better matchups for the Nuggets here. By the way, did you see that the NBA, Angel, is seriously considering the in-season tournament would actually be the number one tiebreaker when you're looking at the NBA playoffs, as far as that would be whoever went the furthest, that's where we're going if it's a tie. Isn't that crazy?
That's dumb.
Yeah. Like, why would you that's do so something dumb. That happens?
So, like, what? If the series was 3-3?
No, or... like tiebreaker in standings.
Oh.
Yeah.
No,
so
that's if you're, it's even worse.
Right. Same record, but we're not going to look at conference wins or division wins first. We're going to look at who went further in the in-season tournament.
Not when those games already counted towards your record and there was only the one extra game.
It's so stupid. They're just trying desperately to make that thing mean something. All right, Angel, let's jump out real quick and get the late.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Just on the local Sports Flash.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show. A couple of notes here, Angel. Well, my sweep, I feel better about it. Joker just got a haircut. Haircut Joker. What's his record now? Do we know? Somebody did this.
Somebody has the stats somewhere on Twitter, but it's very, very good.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very good. No question about it. It's over. It's a sweep. It's a sweep now, Angel. All right, let me get this news moments ago. Thanks to one of our listeners, Toby, for sharing this on my Twitter account. Bad news, though. Rockies announced today that they have placed left-handed pitcher Kyle Freeland on the 15-day injured list. Left elbow strain. Retroactive to April 16th. And have recalled right-handed pitcher Noah Davis from AAA Albuquerque.
How's your guy?
Noah Davis?
Yeah, because you didn't know his name last year.
Oh, yeah, and Tanner got really mad at me. He said, you got to be more respectful than that. And I was like, dude, George Carl used to have a thing where it's like, I'm not even going to learn your name until you're like an asset to me. So why do I have to learn names that I don't want to know? But Noah Davis is... Turns out I was right to not really know his name. AAA. Is Tanner okay, you think? You think he's going to be okay?
I couldn't tell you.
I got to be strong for him in these times, Angel, because he's going to be going through it. Yesterday, I think he talked 30 minutes about basically defending this team. He's got to be the only person doing that. The only one. Who else is doing that? I don't even think Bud Black defends the Rockies like Tanner Schwint does. So you got Rockies assistant coaches in the cockpit of a plane putting lives at risk. You've got Kyle Freeland's out, and Noah Sandervild is on the squad now.
Is that related to the base running he had the other night?
Yeah, probably, yeah. Yeah. I laughed because it was such a terrible decision. That you're 4-15. You got Seattle tonight. It's raining out. I mean, it's not good. But we'll see what Noah Stevens will do tonight, man. You know, he'll get it. Well, he's not pitching tonight, though. He's just being recalled, right? They're calling him up. Who is pitching tonight? Doesn't matter. 49 minutes after the hour. Playoff predictions quickly coming up next.
Keep it tuned to Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
NBA playoffs coming up this weekend. We are ready to rock and roll with the Nuggets and the Lakers headlining Saturday night. Angel, we got to do our picks here. And again, it's just give me the series total, like Nuggets in 4, Nuggets in 5, whatever. And we are going to keep track of that. Did you, I'm winning right now in the play-ins, right? Is that correct?
Yes, you are up 3-1. I am 1-3.
Okay, so you're going to need a bounce back tomorrow. Well, I guess in the next week or so. Let's go through it. Magic Cavaliers. I'll go first on this one. I know we don't have a lot of time. Give me the Cavs in 7.
I'm right there with you.
Cavs in 7. Suns, Timberwolves. Give me the Timberwolves in 7.
I'm going to go Phoenix in 7.
Okay. My gut kind of wanted to go there, but it didn't. 76ers and Knicks. Give me the Sixers in 6.
I see what you did there.
Or 7. 6. No,
I'm
going
to go with the Knicks in 6. Okay. I don't think Embiid makes it through the end of the series.
You did the Knicks in 6. That rhymes. We had fun with that one. Lakers, Nuggets. You know where I'm going. Nuggets sweep this thing. Nuggets in 4.
I'm going to say the Nuggets lose one game. Nuggets in 5.
Nuggets in 5. Okay. Celtics and you and I both, didn't you and I both pick the Bulls?
Yes.
So let's go Celtics, Bulls. Celtics in 4. Celtics sweep.
I agree.
Yeah, doesn't matter. Mavericks, Clippers, give me the Mavericks in 7.
I like that. I'm probably going to go Dallas in 6.
Okay. Pacers, Bucks. Ooh, this is going to be an interesting series, Angel. Give me the Bucks in 7. I got a lot of game 7s happening.
Yeah, I'm going to go Milwaukee in six.
Milwaukee in six. Okay, Thunder and Kings. Give me the Thunder in six.
Okay, I'm going to go with Sacramento in seven.
Sacramento in seven. Oh, the Nuggets won't have to face both Minnesota and Oklahoma City.
That is a bold pick and would give the Nuggets home court in the finals.
That is bold, man. I like it. I am rooting for it.
One of my best friends is a Kings fan, and he is excited, so let's go Kings.
So you can cheer for him with him along the way. I hope the Kings do win, because I don't want to hear all this, oh, they can't beat Minnesota and OKC back-to-back. It's like, well, they can't even get out of the first round. So, you know, First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. What did we learn this week, Angel? Well, I learned if you feel like getting stressed out, Angel, and whatnot on social media, then all you gotta do is say something that might be perceived as negative toward Coach Prime. Be careful, you social media people out there. Hey, Joe, what'd you learn today?
The Rockies are struggling even more than I thought they would going into the week. The Nuggets are primed and ready for a repeat, and the Avs, maybe glimmers of hope, maybe some smoke screens the last few weeks. Are they ready to get back into playoff form?
Are you going Avs in seven? Avs in six? Avs not doing this.
I'm going to go Avs in six.
I'm going to go Avs in seven. I think the Avs get it done. That's changed from yesterday. I realize that, but I don't care. It's Friday. I'm feeling good. It's playoffs. Nuggets on Saturday. Avalanche on Sunday. And the Rockies tonight. It's the trifecta of sports. Kind of. Not really. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.